smestions.
I mean, just that.
It's just, honestly, it's so cheesy, isn't
it's
it?
It's so, and cheap.
yeah, cheesy and cheap.
So thank you for the questions and the schmestions. Dear Wassail and Wassel, this is Neil.
Yeah.
A better name for the sequel to Last Christmas would be This Christmas, and then the finale in the trilogy would be Next Christmas.
Next Christmas.
It would be a nod to A Christmas Carol, which isn't really a question, so I'm not quite sure why that's in. So here's a good one from Lulia. What is your favourite scene or character of the year? Not the best, just the closest to your heart. I mean, to be honest, that then gets quite difficult because sometimes your favourite scene or character of the year is there because they are closest to your heart. So it's quite difficult to fine-tune.
Well, can I tell you my favourite scene?
Yes.
My favourite scene is the final scene from Past Lives because I was watching it going, don't mess it up, don't mess it up, don't mess it up, don't mess it up, and then she didn't mess it up. And then I remember when she came in and I said to her, I just watched that whole thing biting my nails. She went, yeah, imagine how I filmed it.
Yes. Okay, so my favourite characters of the year.
Yes.
It will not surprise you to learn. Were Ellie and Joel, played by Bella Ramsey and Pedro Pascal from
Last of Us.
Just because...
Yeah, that was this year as well.
That was this year, and it was... That and Succession were my two favourite TV
programs. Yeah, Succession!
And Last of Us, people... I know a lot of people entered it through the computer game, which I did not, but I just found it utterly compelling. But in terms of favourite scene, I love the... In episode one, which is the actual outbreak, I've watched it two or three times, and it's very subtle and very clever. Do you remember the beginning of episode two, which they film in Jakarta?
Yes.
And there's a mycologist, someone who studies fungus, and it ends, and she's studied the fungus, and she's told how bad it is in Jakarta, and she ends up by saying, bomb this city and everyone in it.
That's right, yes.
And I think this is genuinely incredible television already. You know, just think this is amazing. But the relationship between Ellie and Joel was fantastic. And of course, then the whole of episode three, which is Nick Offerman and, I wrote it down, Murray Bartlett, which is some of the most memorable television I think anyone will ever see. So all of that, I would think. And hopefully there'll be more zombies in the second series, because that was the main...
When is it coming, the second series?
I think they're just filming it. I think they're filming now. Because of all the strikes, everything was delayed. So they'll film this year, so it'll probably be next year, I would imagine. So, Lulia, thank you. So that's pretty good. So I've got a whole TV, I've got a whole series, and you've got the best film of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Beppa says, true or false, Wonka is a better musical than Disney's Wish.
True.
I say true, and I haven't seen Wish, but I'm just being influenced by everybody else.
Yes.
Dear Stan and Ollie, vintage listener from back in the day, second time emailer, first time was to rebut the suggestion that Mark looked like Michael Gove when you were clearly a doppelganger for Kim Jong-un. No, okay, that's, I'm not sure you're going up there, really, I think. Anyway, this is from Seamus O'Brien.
Can I just say, Kim Jong-un is a step down from Michael Gove.
You'd rather look like Michael Gove than Kim Jong-un.
Yes,
yes,
exactly. So, I mean, it's...
So Seamus says, like Mark, I reached the milestone of 60 a couple of months before Mark, actually. The months running up to it were a type of time of deep reflection until I realised that 60 was the same as being 59. What did stay with me, however, were movie reflections related to my time as father of young kids. Yeah. Two questions. Thinking back to those rainy half-term holidays, did you ever bring your children to a film that was so excruciatingly bad that you either wanted to or did walk out, preferably with your children? Mine was The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle in 2000. De Niro voicing one of the characters seemed like a draw but just did not translate to the UK at all. It made Thomas and the Magic Railroad look like Citizen Kane. And is there a film...
Hey, careful what you say about that. It was filmed in the Isle of Man.
Is there a film that you missed completely during your early days as a father that you still haven't seen or just seen recently? I have to thank Mark for highlighting key neo-noir films from the 90s that I missed in previous Wittertainment episodes, Dead Presidents, Devil in a Blue Dress, and so on.
Dead Presidents is so good. That's such a great film. I don't think I ever took the kids to a film and walked out of it.
No, I don't think we did.
I certainly can't recall doing so. I do know that there was a, I've said this before, there was a half term in which there was nothing on, and I think that I said to the good lady professor, and I said, I want to take child two to see something. There must be something. And I said, oh, Paul Blart Mall Cop is probably not that as terrible as I thought it was, and it was worse than I thought it was. And they stayed and watched it, and they came home cross.
Yes, thanks for the recommendation.
No, but it wasn't. It was just, you know, I just thought, I don't know, maybe I was just being grumpy. I don't think that there's anything that I missed around. I mean, the kids were born, I mean, it's 20-something years ago now, so it's very hard to think if there was anything that came out that I haven't then subsequently caught up with. So no, I don't think so. Walking out of a cinema is a very specific thing, and it has to be a really good reason, not just...
I think if you walk out with your kids, it'll be because, not because the movie is bad, because sometimes the kids will really like a movie that you think is bad, but if you've judged it wrong and it is clearly inappropriate, or they're getting upset...
That's a different
thing. You know, a PG turns out to have a greater sustained level of threat than you thought it was going to have, like the first Lord of the Rings, for example, which is amazing. That is when you'd walk out, I think, where if you have failed as a parent to judge the whether a film is appropriate.
I remember when Peter Jackson King Kong came out, and there was a parent in the cinema who had a young child who was too young to be in that film. And the child got really scared and kept saying, you know, I want to go. And the parent, no, I want to watch the film. It was like...
Yeah, well, you have to think, you know, that parent may well have suffered later on because, you know, the reason the certificate is there is probably quite wise, and you should not have taken your child to that. I remember that when the first time the 12 certificates came out, people were using it as a way of just taking along a three-year-old. It's fine because I'm here and I'm an adult.
Yes, the BBFC actually described it as the babysitting service.
Yeah.
And they said and they said very clearly if they had been able to, they would have put a minimum age of eight. But they said it was just too complicated for the cinemas to negotiate. The cinema said, look, it's either a 12A or it isn't. But the BBFC did definitely say they had not expected that adults would bring three-year-olds to watch 12A certificate movies.
Also, I just remembered at the end of episode 2 of Last of Us, Anna Torv's character dies kissing the zombie, and it's like an act of sacrifice because she's trying to light the...
That's right.
Which is
that's
incredible.
That's right. Yeah, it is.
So the zombie snog of Anna Torv is
that's
fantastic.
A great scene.
Tim says, I wonder if I could ask you to make a judgment on cinema etiquette.
Okay.
This is actually incredibly easy.
Okay.
I don't think I have ever seen Die Hard, but as it is famously a Christmas film, it is Christmas, I thought I would. It was being shown at a cinema in central London, well known for showing cult films.
Prince Charles.
I won't name it, as it's a lovely cinema.
Prince Charles.
The title of the showing, was, I think, Die Hard brackets, It's a Christmas Film. So it was clearly meant to be, not just an ordinary screening.
Right.
I sat in my booked seat in the second row, which, due to the slightly unusual geometry of the screen, made things worse. Someone came in and sat in what I'm sure was their booked seat in the front row, in front of me, and put on a tall red Christmassy hat, significantly obscuring the screen for me and anyone in the seats near me, including the row behind.
Okay, this probably isn't the Prince Charles, because that wouldn't happen there.
Well, the idiot British thing to do would have been to have tut loudly. The sensible thing would have been to have moved. Unfortunately, it became apparent that this person also just had clearly not washed for a very, very long time. Oh, that was too much.
It's the Scala.
I still haven't seen Die Hard, says Tim. This was a special showing, and people were probably always going to dress up. But the question is it ever acceptable to wear a large hat which will obscure the view of those behind you? I think it is not, but I would welcome an ex cathedra judgment on this. Tim, you are absolutely right.
No, it isn't. I am reminded of a sketch by the Goodies in which they go to an eisteddfod, which the joke is eisteddfod, based on two Welsh words, eistedd, bored, fod, stiff. And somebody's sitting in the row, and somebody comes and sits in front of them with one of those, you know, the big stovey Welsh hats.
A stove hat, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think the person behind taps him on the shoulder and points to the hat. And they take the hat off, and the person sits and watches the eisteddfod for a few minutes and then taps him on the shoulder and puts the hat back, on, again.
Okay. Well, I think the easiest thing to say is
no.
My rule is, in general, no hats indoors. I'm sorry about that. You know, and even you, Napoleon, you know, the fact you're walking, why you're going in, there's a ball and there is Josephine, you're still wearing your Napoleon hat.
I should say, in the interest of balance, I was once at a screening in which I turned up And I sat down, because I was always sitting in the same seat, and it was in the 20th Century Fox cinema in Soho Square. And I sat down, and the person behind me went, oh, I can't see over Kermode's hair, I'm going to have to move.
It's not that high.
Well, it was a long time ago, I had more hair.
Okay. Nigel in Birkenhead. Dear love and never having to say you're sorry, I hope the markers, as well as mourning Ryan O'Neill for such films as What's Up, Doc, Paper Moon, The Driver and Barry Lyndon, also remembered his influence on his fashion choices. Because of Ryan's...
Yes, here we go. Do you know where this is coming from?
Because of, I've read the email.
Okay, well, can
I finish the email?
You can, but I know exactly where we're going.
I know, but the...
Tim
has written in a question.
All right, fine, go ahead.
I can actually continue reading the email?
Yeah, I'm just dressing for the occasion.
Because of Ryan's Peyton Place character, Rodney Harrington's fondness for wearing a certain style of coat, he lent his name to the eponymous jacket so beloved of The Good Doctor, although obviously James Dean wore it first in the form of the classic Barracuda G9. So my question is Mark expecting another jacket for Christmas?
No, I know that this Christmas I'm getting a pair of headphones.
But you could also get a jacket as well as a pair of headphones.
No, you couldn't. They're not cheap.
Well, the headphones could be cheap.
No, they're not. Okay. You know the headphones I have that I love?
Yes.
I left them on the train.
Oh, you fool.
And I was...
Were they not handed in by a good-meaning soul?
No.
Someone thought, I love them.
No.
If you've been given a slightly tatty but very good pair of headphones
for
Christmas, they'll be marked.
So anyway, the good lady professor, her indoors, has got me another pair of headphones. But no, I've got many. Because that's the thing, that none of them are called Harrington's. It's Harrington is absolutely the character name.
And following on from your Coca-Cola discussion, there was another drink-related jingle that became a single, having been originally on an advert,
yeah.
And it was the Anytime, Anyplace, Anywhere theme, which was used to market Martini, The Right One, was given new lyrics to become Dancin' Easy by Danny Williams, a number 30 hit in 1977.
Wow.
Fergus says... long-term listener, couple-of-time emailer, one-time email read-outer. On the subject of an uncomfortable age gap between romantically involved main characters.
Okay.
Paris, Texas, if I recall, they had a son from their past life together, presumably when he was a spring chicken in his early 50s and she was, what, a teenager? I may be remembering it wrong, but it took me out of the movie. My question, if you could be a fly on the wall at any event in history, what would you like to see?
That's interesting.
It's just one of those
any event in history.
I mean, if you'll excuse the blatant obvious, I mean, I'd get a good book out of this. If you were the person who was actually at the nativity, right? You know, actually there. You think of you could do a documentary and you could do all kinds of things. But in terms of having just had a bunch of Christmas cards and whatever with nativity scenes, and we were talking about the wise men and all that arriving later, I think that would have been pretty interesting to have been at. So I'll go with that. And only because I became obsessed with it, I would like to have been at the production of Romeo and Juliet in Dartmoor Prison, which was the first black Shakespeare in Britain. Out of which I got a book. But anyway, that just because when you've lived through a moment a lot in your head and tried to write about it, I wouldn't have liked to have stayed in Dartmoor, that's for certain, but I wouldn't have minded just sort of witnessing that performance.
Yeah, no, I think those are brilliant choices. I mean, my obvious thing was to say I would love to have been in Sun Studios when Elvis was first playing, to have heard the original Elvis, Gotti and Bill doing that, playing together. I can't imagine what that could have been like. I would really, really love to have seen that.
Well, you know what it sounded like, but
you do, but you know what it sounded like on the record. I just wonder, it's like, what does it sound like in the room? What did it actually sound like in the room? What was it like when people heard that? You know, there's that lovely thing in the Buddy Holly story in which he says, "I've got a sound in my head, and it's not like anything we've got here." And that thing about the first time you hear the sound of something that really was going to change the world, I suppose that would be the thing that would immediately come to mind. But you are right, the nativity and the production of Romeo and Juliet. One's in classic. Well, I'd like to have been on the grassy knoll to see if anybody was there, or something like that. But
yeah, I mean, there are so many things. Yes, would have been Oliver Stone, yes, it's Simon here. Yeah, you don't know me, but you were wrong.
Yeah, it wasn't anyone.
To no one's great surprise.
See, I told you that thing that Bill Maher said to Oliver Stone the other day. He said, "Is there any conspiracy you won't believe?" Which I thought put Oliver Stone in his place.
But did he?
He went, "Oh, Tom, you know, you know me better than that." To which the answer is, "No, yeah, we all know you better than that, Oliver. You're a nitwit."
Yes. It has been the year of the nitwit, and
the year of the nitwit.
Well, last year, because it's New Year's Day. How was your New Year's Eve, by the way?
What day is it?
It's January the 1st.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. I'm completely clear, no hangover at all.
Now, I was thinking I wasn't going to do this question, only because it's asking for trouble.
Okay.
But it is the last question.
Okay.
From Asher Silverman.
Okay.
Mark.
Yeah.
Mark. Yeah. Mark.
Oh, dear.
Brackets and Simon.
What have I done?
Fourth time emailer, medium term listener, once read out. Regarding Mark signing my Carhartt jacket at a Dodge Brothers gig. Okay, yes. So now you're
okay.
Well disposed towards him.
Yes. Although the Mark thing tells you, what did I do wrong?
My brother and I have just watched Jeremy. It is so, so bad.
Right, okay.
Please can Mark tell me why this is one of his favourite films. I understand some films are all about nostalgia and untouchable in our memories. Scooby-Doo Spooky Island comes to mind. But this film is more uncomfortable than something very uncomfortable. The scene in Jeremy's bedroom had me literally standing up and walking to the door, and the bath scene too. No, no, no. Mark, why? As always, down with the fools and up with the Harrys meeting the Sallys. Asher Silverman. So this is going to be a positive end. See, so Mark's going to be. So in a brief paragraph, because clearly Asher has seen the film.
Yes. Okay.
And he thought it was terrible.
Well, you know, obviously opinions are opinions. All I can tell you is, firstly, it's not nostalgia because my love of Jeremy happened when I was 11 or 12. I didn't know anything about it. It was the supporting feature with Breakheart Pass. I don't remember anything about Breakheart Pass. I saw the film and it just broke my heart. I mean, there's no other way of describing it. And, you know, I think maybe it's true that from an adult perspective or whatever it is, you know, you look back on it and think, oh, well, you know, I'm not entirely comfortable with that. I don't think it's prurient. I don't think it's, I mean, I just thought it was a love story, you know, about this boy who falls in love with this girl and then she leaves. And I was really surprised when I discovered years later that the film had had this amazing following, that it had played at Cannes and it had won the audience award, and that there were all these incredible reviews of it that just said, this is just one of the great coming of age stories of all time. So I don't feel the same way as you do. And the only thing I can say is I was a kid when I saw it and it just touched my heart and broke my heart, and that's it. And there's nothing I can do about that.
And that is the answer to the question. Asher, thank you very much indeed. If you have a question so it can be a movie-related question, it can be nothing to do with movies at all, as I think you are aware. If you have something for us in the new year, we would love to get some correspondence from you. You send it to correspondence@codamayo.com. Thank you very much indeed for listening. We'll be back in a few days' time. Is that right?
No, we're off for a
couple of days.
We're off for a week, aren't we?
Are we off for a week?
We're not on next week. The week after this.
There'll be something.
Subs.
There'll be something.
Subs. Yes.
Featuring other people.
There's no reason you should remember Miss Velociraptor because you're off on another job.
Yeah, she's already.
You booked them though, exactly.
Who did you book?
Rihanna and Robbie.
Rihanna and Robbie.
Rihanna
okay,
and Robbie.
Fine. Okay. That's fine. Well, very good. And but anyway, so that's happening. But then we're happening after a while.
We're a happening thing.
We are a very happening thing. We used to be happening things.
Yeah.
But 2024. Happy New Year, by the way, Mark.
Thank you.
I can't think of anything to be worried about at all. the year is full of joy and potential. No one has spoiled it yet.
There's an American election.
Unless, of course,
there's an American election in November. You know that, don't you?